no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she
Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, November 13th, 2017, and the Green Bay Packers snapped their three-game losing streak with a win over the Chicago Bears Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field. It was rainy, it was cold, but the Packers got it done 23-16. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. Here to break it down with me is Tom Silverstein. Tom, did you stay dry?
There was ain't no sunshine at Soldier Field on Sunday, I'll tell you that darn much. Yeah, it was pretty nasty. No, but I was freezing. Okay, I'm going to stop complaining. I keep at least, people telling me to shut my trap because I'm complaining too much.
At least it was warmer than last time we were here.
Yeah, no kidding. It was. And, you know, the players didn't really complain about the cold. They complained a little bit about the rain. But I didn't see any, other than some guys slipping once in a while, it didn't seem like throwing or catching the ball was a problem.
No, I agree. It didn't seem too bad at all. And given the treacherous reputation of the actual turf here, I thought it held up pretty well, considering.
Yeah, it did. It did. I thought it looked pretty good.
So where should we start with this one? Should we just start with Hundley, since that's what everybody wants to talk about?
Yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about every week. He's really the crux of the subject, because he's what's going to determine where they go. Now, sometimes the defense, too. But anyway, I thought Hundley looked to stay in the pocket a little bit more. I thought he made three NFL plays that he needs to build upon. But they were three NFL plays made in clutch situations, which is the first time he had done that. One was the scramble off the left side when he noticed that Bakhtiari had driven McPhee into next week into the middle, and he had all day to run to the left. And if he didn't have a bad hamstring, which we don't know when he hurt it, who knows where he would have gone. But anyway, then the next play comes back and hits Adams on what was a very Rodgers-esque type play. He rolled to his right, not too far, and pointed to Adams and was decisive and threw it. And then he made the 42-yarder late in the game. So those are three big-time plays.
So the thing that I sort of noticed about, you know, the game in particular was that, aside from those three plays, which all happened very, very late in the game, the last 7 minutes, I thought he was pretty ordinary again.
Absolutely.
And so I don't really know what that means, but I think it's really important that the three best plays he made happened at a time when they needed them to win the game.
Yeah.
Because if he makes those plays in the first half of the first quarter and then plays poorly the rest of the game, I don't really know where his confidence is at. But, I mean, I was just checking social media quickly, and there's pictures of him smiling and laughing on the bus on the way to the airport, and there's no doubt that the guy's probably in seventh heaven right now.
Yeah. There's no question that he gained a lot of confidence, and then I think some people gained some confidence in him. I think their confidence was sagging on offense. Receivers were frustrated, and today, you're right, he finished. That's the most important thing. I looked it up, he was 14 of 21 for like 140-something. Heading into the last two drives, and he went 4 for 4 for 87 yards and a touchdown. That's how you finish a game, you know? And it's how you finish is more important, like you said, than how you start. I think each game he gets a little bit more experience, but he's got to play within himself, and he's got to trust these guys. He obviously trusts Davante Adams now. He's going to have to start trusting some other guys and throw them open. That's what he did with Davante Adams. He threw him open in that corner. He put it in one spot, and Adams went and got it.
So I'm looking at the box score here with all the receiving numbers, and you have Davante with 5 for 90, Cobb with 3 for 52, Jordy with 3 for 20. But of Cobb's 52 yards, 38 of them came on what essentially was a missed tackle by Kyle Fuller, mm-hmm. where it was a slant pass, and then, you know, Cobb turned it into a catch and run. So I guess what I'm getting at is, aside from Adams, is there any concern at all that Nelson doesn't really seem to be very effective without Rodgers, or either Hundley can't be effective with him, or however you want to phrase it, and with Cobb, it's totally dependent these last two games on missed tackles for him to make a big play?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say the one against New Orleans, or I'm sorry, against Detroit was not really a missed tackle.
That's true.
He hit him right across the middle and he just ran with it. And slants are kind of like that. I thought that was a good timing route to Cobb. One of the few, he missed Davante Adams on that one slant that I think that's when he came back later and scrambled. He's not always accurate. His footwork needs to be better, and he needs to be more accurate. But it seems like when he's not thinking, when he's just fires the ball, he's much better. He thinks too much, I think. And, for whatever reason, he can't get it to Nelson. I just think that everything with Hundley is a progression. So anything, any little baby steps he makes is what they're looking for. And he's not going to throw for 350 yards, maybe not this whole year. And he's definitely not going to do it against the Bears defense, because the Bears are eighth-ranked defense in the league. They held New Orleans to 20 points. They held Carolina to 3 points here.
And Atlanta, they held in check, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good defense. He just, you know, again, it has to be each week he has to be better than he was the week before that. And this is a vital, vital game for them in the division.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at what else happened in the division today. The Vikings looked like world beaters today against Washington, just destroying them with Keenum getting close to 300 yards. He might have gone over it by the time the game finished, and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then you look at Detroit. They did not look very good early, but they came back and put up 38 points against Cleveland.
Hard to get motivated against Cleveland.
Exactly. So essentially, the way the NFC North is right now, you have the Vikings at 7-2. You have the Lions at 5-4 with a tiebreaker over the Packers, who are also 5-4. And then the Bears are probably, you know, out of it at this point. I guess when you look at that division, and then you look around some of the other divisions in the NFC, you think of Carolina and New Orleans both probably going to make the playoffs because of their records. So that's one wild card. Mm-hmm. Then you look at the NFC West and you've got the Rams and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Could be another wild card. So realistically, do you think the Packers could make the playoffs without winning the NFC North?
Doubt it.
I agree.
I kind of doubt it. I mean, you never know what's going to happen to other teams around the league.
Sure, and Cam Newton gets hurt and it's over.
Right. And, you know, Minnesota still has to play the bulk of its game on the road. They had a lot of home games.
Yes, they did.
I actually thought they might lose this game, and they were behind for a while. But Washington's defense is just god-awful. So, I don't know. Right now, Minnesota is in the driver's seat, but I still like Detroit. I think Detroit's the team that's going to wind up winning the division. And I think the Packers are going to be the odd man out. Even if they can figure out how to beat, you know, if they can win, beat Baltimore, then beat, well, they're not going to beat Pittsburgh, although Pittsburgh barely beat Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
So who knows? I don't know. It's so crazy.
It gets
this
NFL, weird.
But yeah, they're going to have a hard time.
So now let's look at the running game a little bit. And, you know, Aaron Jones got the start, but only had 3 carries for 12 yards before he goes off with a knee injury that he could barely walk to the cart, and then they carted him to the locker room, and he was ruled out almost immediately. So then they go to Ty Montgomery, who actually played well. 6 carries, 54 yards, including a 37-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He also had 2 catches for 14 yards. But the guy who's essentially balanced the offense was Jamal Williams. 20 carries, 67 yards, only a 3.4 per carry average, but I thought his ability to break tackles and get tough yards was really, really impressive. Do you agree?
Yeah, and he got a lot of one-yard carries at the end that kind of wrecked his average, but he ran hard. He ran much, much harder than I saw him run earlier in the season. And I think he's playing with more passion. I remember seeing it on special teams, that he was just all jacked up on special teams. And now he seems to just be bringing his pads with him and going right at guys. So that was a pretty decent performance all the way around. The Packers rushed for 160?
Yep.
160 yards against the Bears. I wouldn't have ever bought into that.
What about 37 running attempts in general?
Amazing.
12 Amazing. More than their passes.
Maybe, you know, maybe McCarthy needs to look at that and say, you know, there you go. There's how the breakup should be. Hundley shouldn't have to carry the team. Eventually, you do want to open things up with him, but you know, get the run game going, and then work some play action, and then you know, then you can open it up a little bit.
Because I'm looking at it now, it's 37 carries for 160, which is a 4.3 average. You take that all day if you don't have Rodgers at quarterback.
Absolutely, and it's only one scramble, you know,
right?
Yardage. So.
And there was only one carry of more than 17 yards.
Right.
So it's not like they had a giant 80 yarder that swayed this average. This was all bits and pieces.
Yeah. Yep. And they have to figure out. I think when they get in trouble is when they start passing right away, you know, pass a lot. And then if they get behind or whatever, then McCarthy's stuck. He's got to just pass it. I think that's what happened against Detroit. You know, what, Jones only got like 5 carries in that game.
Yeah, 5 for 12, I think.
You know, all of a sudden you're passing, and then you sort of lose track of the run game and all the momentum of the run game. So I think that's got to be a big part of their offense.
What did you think of the Randall Cobb Wildcat element that they used
that
a couple
stuff.
Times? Really?
I hate that gimmicky bull crap.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah,
okay.
I just didn't think it was. Did it really do anything for him? I mean.
Cobb's long carry was 6 yards.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's cute, but Hundley needs all the snaps he can get.
True.
I don't know.
I guess I kind of like what it represents more than anything, which is at least they're trying something new.
Yeah.
And I feel like too often in the running game, as soon as something doesn't work, they go away from it entirely. So I was just kind of at least said, oh, they're going to try something new today.
Yeah, yeah. I'll save it for Cleveland.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else on offense before we flip over to defense here?
Pass protection was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. But,
you know, McCray had his moments again where, you know, he's just not a right tackle.
And, no.
But the guy, give him credit, he battles all day long.
He plays really, really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
And I'm gonna say this, that when he's in the lineup, they run the ball better than they do when he's out of the lineup.
Oh, I don't think there's any question, yeah.
You know, doesn't matter where he's at, he is a really good run blocker. And they're going to have to think about, you know, even if they put Spriggs back in there at some point and they do need pass blocking, more athleticism out there, they got to figure out a way to keep using McCray.
I agree. And maybe they can try something that the Bears did today. Now, the Bears didn't have a lot of success with it, but they used an extra lineman in jumbo packages that I can't remember the guy's name.
But McCarthy hates that. I don't know why. It's like, makes no sense.
Yeah, I was thinking about it too, because they had in the fourth quarter when they're trying to run out the clock, right?
Yeah.
They go up to the line of scrimmage and they've got their big offensive line up there that is a pretty good run blocking unit. And then I look to the right side of the line and they're reinforcing it with Lance Kendricks and Richard Rodgers. And I'm just thinking, what if they keep one of those guys and the other guy's McCray?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, to me, I don't get it. Man, maybe we should ask him that sometime.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like a reaction to when McCarthy took over, they had this. Mike Sherman ran this jumbo line, and U-79, they called it, because Kevin Barry, this mass, or U-71, I can't remember.
Like a German U-boat?
Yeah, yeah. And they ran that, and Amon Green was really successful with it, but it's not part of McCarthy's offense. He hates the fact that the tight end can't catch a ball.
Well, do you think it also has to do with the fact that when they tried that last year with Spriggs, it never, ever worked?
Never worked, yeah. He's a wrong body type to do that with.
I wonder if that experience deterred him a little bit.
Maybe.
Okay, let's flip over to the defense. So where everything started with Hundley for the Packers, I think everything starts with Jordan Howard in some ways for the Bears.
Yeah.
15 carries for 54 yards.
Not bad. They did a pretty good job on him. He had one really long run. Not even really long.
25. You take out the 25-yarder, he averaged 2.07 a carry.
Pretty amazing. And Cohen was no factor.
One carry for 1 yard.
Yeah, so they didn't run it enough. I mean, how many times did Trubisky throw?
35 to 17 running attempts. Yeah. 2-1 pass to run.
And I think that was part of, you know, also McCarthy's huge on the number of plays you get.
Yes.
And the Bears had way fewer plays than the Packers.
What was the number of plays? Total plays, 57 for the Bears, 65 for the Packers.
Yeah, well, that's pretty big. Yeah, I guess it's not as big as I thought it was, but that's still a lot. And, you know, the Bears, I guess I thought they would have run the ball more, but the Packers are playing pretty decent run defense. You know, Ingram got them pretty good, but last week they were okay against Abdullah. I would think they'll be okay this week against the Ravens. Pittsburgh will be a huge test.
Le'Veon Bell's a different animal.
Yeah, definitely. And there you have to defend a passing game, too.
So I asked Clay Matthews sort of what is the key to defending the way that the Bears run it, because they use so many of those stretch plays where they try and go wide and then either cut back or turn the corner. And Matthews said that against those plays, he thinks, and maybe this is him just being a tad self-centered, but I kind of believe it, that everything starts with the outside linebackers, because whether they're playing a 9 technique or a 7, 9 meaning a little bit wider than the tight end, 7 meaning close to head up with the tight end, the way Matthews explained it. If they're playing the 9 technique, their job is to crash down and set the edge so that they can't turn the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're playing the 7 technique, their job is to string the play out as wide as they can to the sideline and let somebody else come in and make the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way Matthews explained it is that basically with him and Perry, and even guys like Fackrell that can just move a little bit, like athletically,
mm-hmm.
that it sort of sets up well for them to have success against this particular type
True.
Of scheme. Do you buy into that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you saw Matthews, I thought, played the run pretty well. He did string out a bunch of plays. I think Perry's better when he's just power versus power.
Yes.
But, you know, he can move. Yeah, I think that's there's some legitimacy to that. You know, they stayed in their gaps and they played pretty well against the run.
2 tackles for loss for House, 3 for Perry, but those were all sacks. 2 for Daniels, 1 for Jake Ryan, 1 for Kenny Clark, 1 for Clay Matthews. Total of 10.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Now, I'm gonna put a caveat on this, too, and that is that they didn't have to worry about Mitch Trubisky
that
much. So Josh Jones was up at the line of scrimmage quite a bit. You know, their backers didn't have to worry as much about play action and
yeah, that's a good,
getting
that's
deep
a good point.
On them down the middle. It's a different game when you're playing a team that is so conservative and doesn't really have a ton of you know, action with its quarterback. That said, the secondary still stinks. I mean, I just didn't think they played very well. House got torched a couple of times. I don't see the safeties making any plays. Demarius Randall, believe it or not, is the best guy they got right now.
I think he played better than King today. King's had 2 games in a row now where I think he's been down a little bit. I don't know if teams are starting to figure him out or if his body's getting a little bit fatigued or whatever it is, but I think he's sort of hit a little bit of a wall.
He's beat up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he got hurt today. It looked to me like it was his shoulder.
Yeah, he said it was the same shoulder that's bothered him basically since college.
Yeah.
I saw him talking to Dr. McKenzie in the locker room, and McKenzie was I couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was sort of, with his hands, he was sort of making the motion of how his shoulder works, and it looked like he was trying to explain to him exactly what's going on with his shoulder.
Who was he saying, you wussy, get out on the field?
No, this isn't Martellus Bennett.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what they do at corner, really, because, I mean, they're going to play some better receivers, not necessarily with Baltimore, but, I mean, Antonio Brown's going to...
Yeah,
he's going to carry my fantasy team to a win that week.
I have no, I just don't see it. I don't see Clinton Dix making any plays. Josh Jones had a chance for an interception, that one that King kicked off his foot. You got to make those plays. Blake Martinez had that one that went right through his hands.
Martinez had 2 tackles today.
Wow.
2.
Really?
2.
That's incredible.
He'd been averaging like 12.
Yeah.
That's I don't know how
incredible.
He only had 2.
Maybe he's wearing down a little
bit. And that's not just 2 solo tackles. That's 2 total.
Yeah. Jake Ryan have? He seemed like he was a little bit more active. Three. Huh. I don't know.
House with 8, Perry with 6, Daniels with 5.
Well, that speaks to your point about them stretching out play. If your corners and outside linebackers have all your tackles, that's where they're running the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So that was, I mean, that was a step in the right direction, I think. Now, I sort of, the way I wrote my story, I wrote about the run defense, was I kind of put it in the context of, you know, last season. So last week they played the Lions, a team that can't run the ball, mm-hmm. and they played really good run defense. Mm-hmm. And now they're playing against a team, the Bears, that can run the ball. They were 6th in the NFL in running, or no, 8th in the NFL in running, but Jordan Howard was 6th in yards. And so I put it in the context of the beginning of last season where the Packers were putting up all these gaudy run defense numbers, and then they play the Cowboys, their first real test, and the Cowboys killed them. Mm-hmm. And today, they actually held up against a team that can run the ball. And so I think this has to be a confidence boost for them. And I thought Kenny Clark played a heck of a game again. He is just so active up front now.
Yeah, he had an off game last week.
Yeah.
And I think he came back much stronger today against the Bears. Yeah, he looked very good.
What did you think of Trubisky in general, a guy that the Packers are going to see for maybe the next dozen years?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's very athletic. He's playing within the offense. He's managing, you know. He threw a beautiful deep ball. That House got beat on.
To Bellamy for the touchdown.
Yeah, to Bellamy for the touchdown.
46 yards.
You know, when he rears up and throws it, he can throw it. And he's really athletic for a big guy. More athletic Roethlisberger, you know.
Yeah, I mean, today, I mean, look at the numbers. He had 0 running game today. And he still threw for more yards than Hundley. He completed more passes than Hundley. His passer rating wasn't as good because he got sacked 5 times, but he threw a touchdown. And, I mean, 297 and a touchdown and no picks?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad for a guy in his 5th start, rookie.
Yeah. His passer rating was lower? What did he
97. Mean? Hundley was 110.
Oh, it must have been. Sacks don't count against
them. They don't? I thought they did factor it. No? Mm-mm. Okay.
No, so it must have been.
Completion percentage, 21 to 35 and 18 to 25.
Yeah.
Twice as many incompletions.
And then the biggest stat is yards per attempt.
There you go. Okay.
So
35, you know, 10 more pass attempts for Trubisky. Anything else you want to talk about from this game?
Trevor Davis.
Yeah,
what
okay.
What do they do with him? I didn't talk to him. Did you see him at all?
He snuck out of there pretty quick.
Yeah, that was really a boneheaded play.
So he fields a punt in the end zone.
Yeah, essentially right on the goal line.
I've never seen anyone catch a punt in the end zone or on the goal line before.
Me either. And, you know, they kept him in there. And I've never seen a team also that so blatantly blocks in the back. You know, I mean, Joe Thomas pushed that guy right in the back.
Yeah.
Lindsey, was it Pipkins had the other one?
Yeah.
Yep, right in the back. I mean, I know that it's really fast and stuff happens and you're trying to not get your guy killed, but man, they got to clean that up.
I mean, I wrote my story during the bye week. They were leading the NFL in special teams penalties. I don't know what happened in the 2 games since then, but today certainly didn't help.
Yeah.
And so... you know, I don't know what Mike McCarthy thinks of the special teams overall, but I would have to say that if they continue playing this way, I don't see how Zook is the coordinator next season. Their return game has been awful. Their kick coverage has been okay. Mm-hmm. But the penalties left, right, and center, I mean, the field goal issues, some of it's out of Zook's control, but still.
Some of it. I just want to see what happens over the course of the year. You know, it's hard to say. There's a lot of ups and downs in special teams, and Packers are always dealing with having all young guys because Thompson won't sign any veterans. So I don't know, but whatever. It just I don't know what's wrong with Davis. He's trying too hard to make a play, but he should be better schooled than that.
He also didn't play at all on offense today. They played him 6 or 7 snaps against Detroit, and he wasn't out there at all.
I was kind of surprised that they don't, once in a while, put him out there in a run formation, just, you know, throw it deep to him, see if he can go and get it.
Yeah, because my first year here was 2015, and I felt like at least once every other game, Rodgers took a shot to Janis, whether he really wanted to or not.
Mm-hmm.
Janis can't see the field except for a kneel down.
No.
And... And Trevor Davis is never in there on offense. I mean, their offense has no speed at all.
No.
It's bad.
Their receivers have no speed.
Yeah. And so I don't really know what they do there. But yeah, I mean, at least coverage-wise, they did a nice job on, you know, my brother from another, Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job on that. And then, you know, there was the drop by Vogel on the field goal. I mean, that looked like a pretty good snap to me. I mean, might have been a little bit behind, but...
But still, I mean, relative to the ones they had earlier, it was significantly better. So I don't know.
Yeah, so we sit here and Packers are 5-3.
5-4.
5-4, right, 5-4, and tied with the Lions. So we'll have to just... It's just going to play out. You know, they just can't lose any games they're supposed to win.
You know,
they can't lose to Baltimore. They can't lose to Cleveland. They can't lose to Tampa Bay. If they win those games, then they're at least going to stay
fairly even. They'd be at 8 wins.
Yeah, they'll be in it. You know, it's going to be hard to, unless they get Rodgers back for that last two games, I don't see how they make it.
Yeah, because I think at Carolina and at Pittsburgh are guaranteed losses. I don't see them winning that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings come to Lambeau and win.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's three.
Yeah. I think you can't count on any wins with this defense.
Right.
Until this defense figures it out, you can't count on anything.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right, that's all she wrote from Soldier Field. So thank you guys for checking out this podcast, and be sure to look at all of our post-game coverage, which is available on JS Online and PackersNews.com. How's the live blog?
It was good. Good participation. It's amazing how the pendulum swung towards Hundley all of a sudden. They were, like, really excited about Hundley.
Did they trade him yet?
No.
Okay.
But they're still firing many people.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten fired yet, but there's some who want to.
Oh, I've gotten fired at halftime a couple times this season.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like the one guy who always – there's always one guy who says, how come I – he says, I'm out of here. You don't ever post my, my comments. And I'm like, well, you're not posting enough comments and you're leaving.
Yeah.
So I can't post your comments if
you're
leaving.
That's true.
Anyway.
So they'll have to come back for the live blog next week.
Yes.
Until then, we've got all kinds of stuff for you to check out on our website, as I mentioned. So be sure to look at all of that stuff. And we will talk to you again later this week with a new podcast. So thank you all very much for listening.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Anytime she goes away,
sunshine, she's gone.
Anytime she goes away,
ain't no sunshine, she's gone.
Anytime she goes away.